Good morning. How is everything this fine Friday morning? I couldn't help but think about our pastor Sakaros and his driving partner. They are getting up this morning and heading out for their final day of travel to get here. And it start with a word of prayer, and we'll include that also. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look into your word and to try to dig in and to see what these visions that John saw that you gave to him, and try to see how it applies to what we're seeing in our world today. And Lord, that you'll give us discernment and to help me to understand possibly what you want us to see out of these scriptures. Lord, we also think about Pastor Sakaros and his partner that are driving this way. May they have a safe rest of their trip as they come into Arizona, and that there'll be a good fellowship weekend as we get an opportunity to see him. And Lord, may you bless and take care of all the church family, and that you'll be with us all as continuing our daily activities today. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. That's funny. There's times I get a little, I want to pray more and there's more I want to say, and I just, the words aren't coming to me. And so I'm a firm believer that when that happens, it's probably that the Lord says, I got you, and that now just listen for a bit, and I got something to tell you. So. When you can't think of something to say, then that's when it's time to be quiet and listen. So, here's our picture, our typical picture we've been going through. We're going to be on this one for probably another week or so, mainly because we're in the chapter 9, and we're still looking at the fifth trumpet. Of course, we got two more after this, and a pause, and it's going to be a big pause this time, chapter 10 through 14. So, lots of information in this picture, and so we're on the fifth trumpet, where you see that cloud of smoke kind of like coming up. And what got happening is that we have these unusual items. The way John depicts them, he calls them locusts. And he tries to describe them, and we're going to look at that a little bit today, and some parallel passages that I find, but also some latest technology that kind of maybe that's what he was seeing, some things that the current science is working on that kind of makes you go, you know, did John see some of this in the future when he was seeing these visions? So real quick, our hepatic structure here. We've been through the seven seals. Now we're on the seven trumpets. We're on the fifth trumpet. And at, right now we're on the fifth trumpet, which they call the, which is the locust. Demon locust is what the, this particular picture portrays. And so we'll jump into the, scriptures here, and just going to review real quick verse 4. And it was we looked at verse 4 yesterday, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass or the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which had not the seal of God in their foreheads. So this is the thing about locusts, is that that's their main purpose in life, is to basically, they don't hurt humans. They basically hurt vegetation. They don't really bite humans that I know of. I did a little bit of reading on them. They're mostly, but they can be quite the, they're almost like a fog. And I found one picture here, I'll show it real quick, of a swarm of locusts. I think this was taken in Africa. They've been having a lot of problems in northern Africa and over in, even in Saudi Arabia, Iraq. Same general area that this particular verse is talking about. But you can see that there's a lot of them. I think there's some estimate there's about 80 million locusts per square mile, and they can take up hundreds of miles if they get a big swarm going. And they just eat everything green in sight. But in this particular verse, we see that they're ordered not to hurt the grass or anything green. So these ain't typical locusts as we know them. And there's a couple of verses I'm going to, not so much today, during this passage, it talks about some other differences. The fact that these locusts are being led, and at least medical science up to this point, the scientific world, when it comes to regular locusts, they have no kink. And we'll look at some verses on that. That's later on, maybe next week. So continuing on, so a little bit about locusts and I remember why I went right straight to Exodus. Hold on 1 second. As they get collect my thoughts for a second. I was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass or the green, or neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Oh, okay. It's about the seal. That's why I brought up. Well, the other thing is that in Exodus, we have a similar thing that happened during the Moses and his time of the Exodus. And so we'll do a little review of that. It's in Exodus 10, verse 4. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into the coasts. And they shall cover the face of the earth. As you saw in that picture, that's not hard to do. That one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand, we jump to verse 12, over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt, and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. This particular gosh, I can't think of the right word I'm looking for. Plagues. Drawn a blank on the right word. This particular plague of the locust came after the hail of Exodus. That's why that term is there. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Looks like God blew them in from someplace else. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them, there was no such locust as they, neither after them shall be such. Meaning it was more intense than a regular locust swarm. It's actually pretty common in that area. But it's interesting that lately it seems like you hear about it all the time, that there's these locust swarms. Mostly over the Middle East, I hear. But I've even heard in India, Australia. There's even been one here in the United States. It wasn't as bad as some of those, but it was somewhere, I think it was in Colorado or somewhere up there. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left, and there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. So that was Egypt. But back to Revelation. I'm going to talk a little bit about the men who are sealed. That was that it was told them that they couldn't hurt the grass or the trees or anything green. So we've already determined that these aren't regular locusts, not like in Exodus. And not to hurt the men that are sealed. And if you remember correctly, they were sealed a few verses ago over in chapter 7. And it said there, "And I saw another angel ascend from the east, having a seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." So remember this, that God made sure that he protected the servants of God, which were the 144,000, if you remember correctly, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and it lists all the different tribes. And another parallel verse is over in Exodus 12:23 about being protected. "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two sides posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you." So it's another pattern of when God protected certain individuals from the plague or the wrath that he had to come. We see this again, in Exodus and again in Revelation, which is futuristic, so that those that are sealed. And there's a little bit of controversy on exactly, we know definitely know that the 144,000 are Jewish, but there are some verses that kind of make you go, I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of a protection for those who turn to the Lord during that time too. It's not as good a protection as the Jews are going to get, because they know that they do end up getting beheaded for their faith, but that when we get to that, you'll see. So on to Revelation 5, that's where we start tonight. That was our review. "And to them," and I was still talking about the locusts, "and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man." Interesting comment here that kind of reminds me of Job. Remember, these orders were given to these locusts, but they were probably what God basically told Satan he was allowed to do. And we saw this once before in Job, in Job 2:5. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." That's God talking to Satan, saying that, you can put some pain on Job, but you can't kill him. So at tormented 5 months, it just goes, I just see that too, that that he was limited to what he could do at that point. So I think it's important to see that God is always in control, no matter what, even during this time of wrath, that he's still controlling what's going on, that Satan doesn't have full reign. Now this verse here has really always bugged me a little bit, and I guess, I don't know, it's a, let me read it first, and we'll talk about it. Revelation 9:6, "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." Fascinating verse. And a couple of areas I always think about when I think about this verse is that there's something different about these particular men, that they can't commit suicide, basically. They seek death, but they can't perform it. And what would cause you to be able to not die? And so that a couple of areas that we'll go through a couple of verses of things that kind of talk about it a little bit. And I'm kind of wondering if it has anything to do with the mark of the beast, because if you remember that at some point they're going to have to, and I think that it's going to be about this time frame that they have to take the mark. Remember that we already decided that, at least I did. Excuse me. That Satan has been eliminated from heaven. He's no longer allowed there to talk to God anymore, and he is super mad. And this is the point where I think that he actually indwells the Antichrist and starts revving. That's what Jesus describes as the Great Tribulation, where if it wasn't limited in time, that not a single soul would survive. So this time we're coming into is very, very bad. But there's going to be those that are going to not listen to the warnings about this mark. And it has something to do with the worship of the Antichrist. And there's a lot of speculation as to what this mark might be. Over the years, they've talked a lot about what this mark might be. And supposedly it's going to be on either, as we're going to see here in chapter 13. Let's review it real quick of what this mark is. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Notice how it says in their right hand or in their foreheads. So it's not just on it, but it's actually in it. And he causes all, it's the same verse. I'll put it in there twice. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. You got to admit, that verse kind of just makes you go, especially events of current history. But back to 9:6. So in that mind, what my thought process is it something that that maybe these men were some people that took that mark, and now that they have that mark, there's no way they can be saved, but they're realizing they were wrong. They messed up. They did the wrong thing. They shouldn't have done it. They listened to the wrong person. And so that they can't seem to, now that they're destined spiritually to die, and that death is going to be not a great thing. So they're so depressed that they want to die, but they can't. So that also leads me to a couple other things that kind of I kind of toss around. Is it possible that for some reason they don't have human bodies anymore? That they're somehow not able to die because they're not human, per se. And I keep hearing about these different technologies like the super soldier and different things like that. And what comes to mind is this ability to actually use basically what they call bionics. I think we all remember, at least anyone who's over the age of 45, 50, probably remembers a TV show called The $6 Million Man. He had special technology after a bad crash and was able to rebuild some limbs using bionics. And the bionics were actually controlled by his brain, so he didn't need... Now, it wasn't like a prosthetic as much as it was almost like his own body. Now, he still had most of his body anyways. But there seems to be this trend, and there was also the Bionic Woman, too, came out at the same basic time. And then we think about these movies where you see, you know, Captain America and these different extra shells they put on to make him superhuman. Well, I'd say, you know, I can see the technology. I'll never forget this scientist I met when I was in the National Guard many years ago, back in the 80s. And we were talking one time. Is it fun thing about the National Guard is you get to meet people from all different kinds of, because you have a regular job, and then on weekends you become a soldier. Well, I happened to be talking to this doctor. He was a doctor, a PhD, that was in the Guard with me. And he was telling me about technology they were working on, where they were trying to enhance the human body by seeing if there's ways that we can combine plant life with human life, so that basically we could feed ourselves like a plant feeds. And I'm listening to him talking. You know, of course, they were doing it on animals and stuff. But I'm listening to him talk. He's all excited about this technology where basically you could survive by drinking water and sunshine, because that's basically how a plant lives. And so I'm listening to this going, and this is, you know, this is 40 years ago. And it's amazing how far they've come, and they got shows like the $6 Million Man. Well, believe it or not, let me show you this article. This technology is actually in the works. Here we got neuroscience researchers received $3.4 million grant to develop brain-controlled prosthetic limbs. Then there's another one here. This is actually somebody who's a who can't walk. He's using a prosthetic device that he controls with his brain to be able to help him walk. So basically replacing his muscles and stuff. And there's actually an agency called DARPA. It's a defense agency that actually does a lot of research into helping soldiers to fight the next wars. And they actually have a prototype that they're working on of trying to make this exoskeletal type device that will actually make you stronger. It goes over your body and you can control it with your mind. And this is a picture of what it might look like. And this ain't science fiction anymore, folks. This is stuff they're actually working on. So, all you guys that kind of like are curious about. So when I read verses like this, I'm thinking like John is sitting there going, he's seeing this vision, he's seeing this stuff. He's probably having a heck of a time. He's trying to use things that he knows about to try to describe what he's seeing. So what if, I even know that they've been talking about things like artificial blood and being able to imprint somebody's brain waves onto into a, like a supercomputer. So what if at some point in time that the human body actually becomes all bionic, and they just take and basically take your brain and implant it into this device that looks like your human body, and it you still think it's you because you still think like you, your brain is still there, but basically everything else is bionic. And maybe that's I know I'm maybe stretching this verse quite a ways, but it kind of makes you go, wow, they're seeking death but can't find it. So it's something that be interesting to see over the next decade how things progress in some of these areas, which I'm not sure we'll ever get to that point because I think God might step in before any of this materializes. But maybe some of it will reach some kind of fulfillment during the tribulation. Now I got you totally wondering what direction I'm heading. I think that's as strange as it's going to get today. Let's see. So, back to Revelations. So, some other verses that back in verse 6. That kind of also parallel what we were just talking about not about being such in fear. Another thing that it could be is fear, is that they have so much fear of what the Lord's going to do to them next that they just want to die, but they can't. And this verse in Revelation 6:16 kind of hints at that, where it says, "And he said, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." I think about some other verses over in Job here that talks about where am I? Oh yeah, this is just kind of like a parallel verse about wanting to die but really can't. You're in such misery that you just don't want to live anymore. Over in Job 3:20, wherefore in light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for a hidden treasure. That's deep, deep despair, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. So this is a kind of like a parallel verse. It's why I picked it. Kind of the same thing where you seek death, but you can't really find it. You're looking forward so much to the grave that you feel like I actually can relate to that a little bit. Even though I know that I never would succeed in doing it, I have been at a place in my life where I felt like, do I really want to live this way any longer? And it was when I had one of my heart issues one time, about 6 years ago. It got really, really bad, and I was just really down on myself. So I can feel the despair of some of these verses. And I'm sure these are going to be a lot worse than what I suffered through, but there definitely is times when it seems like there's no. But the thing I always remembered is that looking back on that now is that I'm glad that I didn't do something stupid, because now my life is pretty good, and that through proper medical care and time, I was able to get back to where I feel really good about my life, and my life is going pretty well right now. So I if I ever touch upon somebody that's feeling down on themselves and that they just don't want to go on anymore, just try to use that as an example that that things can always get better. I'm not so sure about the in the tribulation here. That might be different, but in general, right now I'm talking about, because Job made it through, and we all, if you've ever read Job, he went through some pretty hard times, but God paid him. God took care of him at the end, and that's what we need to do, is look to the Lord. And that and that's what I did back during that time frame, and it had me turn my life around. And I praise God so much for it, because he brought me right to the edge, and he knew I wouldn't do anything stupid, but it made me realize that I need to look to him and not and stop relying on myself. So chapters also is in Job in 7:15 and 16, it says, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. This is Job feeling kind of down on himself. But we know that the end of the story, it turns out quite well. I'm just trying to pick a few other verses that parallel this wanting to die, but the desire is there very, very strongly. And this was kind of foretold in Isaiah 2:19. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Isaiah is an amazing book. They call it the mini Bible, because it's almost a, you can almost follow it and see the entire Bible written in a smaller version in Isaiah. Almost the whole thing goes from Genesis to Revelation. I think this particular verse, being it's early in Isaiah, has more to do with a different period of time, maybe during the time of the Exodus or sometime around then. And Jesus also commented about this time. In Luke 23:30, we read, and Jesus says, then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to cover, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green time, what shall be done in the dry? It was mainly that other verse I was trying to point to. So Revelation 9:7. And the shapes of the locusts. Now back to the text. This is why I brought up that figurine of the. I'll show them again of that futuristic soldier with his. Extra schedule uniform there. Try to envision what John is seeing here, and try to think that we're talking, this is about 90 AD, so no cars, no planes, no guns, no nothing that could indicate some of these things he's trying to describe, which are kind of fascinating, that he used these words, but he's trying to use words that he was aware of at that time. And the shapes of these locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as faces of men. So again, I'll just bring this in real quick again. If you were John and you're 90 AD and you saw something like this in a vision, how would you describe it? You can tell it's pretty much a man, but it doesn't, I don't know about the hair part. I could probably find a better example of it, of a picture that might have been indicative of what a futuristic kind of a man might look like that has all this extra technology on them. Actually, I did see one, but I didn't copy it. But these locusts, whatever they are, the fact that they, the way he describes it as horses prepared unto battle. So that means they had battle plates on. That's why I was thinking of that one picture. I think that even then, they would, they had like shields and bucklers, that in Ephesians, how John describes, Paul describes the armor of God, that they did have ways of protecting themselves, and they did have things on their horses. So it could be like plating that he was seeing that was protecting these locusts. And he had crowns of gold. That's what made me think of that one picture, because it looks like he's got a helmet on. It could look a little bit like a crown of gold. And their faces were as faces of men, where if that person I showed you didn't have their screen down, you would probably be able to see their face on the inside. So don't have much others. I saw a couple of parallel verses for this one over in Joel. Starting in verse 2:4. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. So maybe they could run as fast as a horse. That's why I picked up on that idea of a super soldier. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. So they can jump really far. And that's another thing that some of these skeletal type assist devices they're talking about can help them run fast. Like $6 Million Man, he could run real fast and he could jump real high and stuff. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blackness. So blackness, that could be, that shield that I showed you, like sunglasses. Now, this is Joel's prophecy, so he's seeing a vision too. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. Couldn't help but pick it up on that word, mighty men. Might actually review that at some point, because that's the same verse we see over, same symbology they use in Genesis 6 about those born of the relationship between the angels and the earthly woman. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. So they're going to be moving along like they're almost like they're like they're in formation. If you ever seen Star Wars and the stormtroopers, it kind of reminds me of that. Those stormtroopers just marching their way. Maybe the person who wrote that was kind of thinking of some of these verses when he was designing some of those things we see in Star Wars. Oh, I doubled up some verses here. Verse 2:8. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Another indication that not being able to kill themselves. Something about them is different, that they seek death but can't find it. Now, these particular soldiers sound like they don't want to die yet. They're actually protected from dying, maybe by their suit, their suit that they have on. So also over in Nahum 3:17, we got a little bit of a prophecy too. The crown are as the locusts, and the captains are these great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun arises, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. So that they move quickly too, and I've heard that about swarms of locusts. So the fact that he uses the terminology of a locust and a swarm of locusts could be more of an indication that it's against a large group of people coming out of this hole in the ground, basically. Or we could even see something like that. You know, we talked about the bottomless pit and so on. You know, that could be a some kind of a headquarters for Satan and his minions, where they're that's where he has all his soldiers preparing for war. But we do know that it talks about God giving given Satan the keys to this, so that it's something that God is basically saying he's giving him permission to allow Satan to do this too at the same time. Okay, verse 8. Oh, this is even a stranger verse. And they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. That's why I thought of that picture again too, because he kind of look. If you look at that helmet, it almost looks a little bit like blonde hair. It's really smooth. That's what I thought of that also. Maybe it looks a little bit like the hair of a woman. And their teeth were as the teeth of a lion. They could be, they could have had some sort of a protection on them, or maybe some kind of armament on their bodies that looked like teeth. I'm trying to imagine what Paul, what John is seeing, and how he's trying to describe it. There's something similar that's talked about over, just to mention about long hair. It was interesting that these are men. It's described as men, but they have long. But he described them as having long hair as a woman. Well, it's funny that Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 11:14. And does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? So I'm sure John thought this was shameful, that whether these creatures were had long hair. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. I'll have to admit, I favor a lady who has long hair. It's always been one of my things. I think it adds a lot of beauty to a woman. Not sure if that's says for a covering, so I think that it goes along with the idea that women are supposed to have a covering on their head, particularly in church. Remember that growing up, all the ladies used to wear a hat, and I noticed Shane likes to wear a hat in church. That's quite biblical, actually. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number. Back to Joel. I put Joel in here again. Oh, talking about, again, the army. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. So whatever this creature looks like, John is describing it as an army. Basically, a nation is coming upon my land. So it's a large group of people. And that they describe them as having teeth like a lion. I'm referring back to Revelation, but it's also talked about in Joel as being like a prophecy. Verse 9. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots for many horses running to battle. And so locusts, and that might be why he used locusts too. Maybe these soldiers or whatever they are able to fly. So that's why he used the term locusts. But maybe it'll be some sort of a new technology that allows a man to fly. And it makes a loud noise. You know that those jet packs, I remember seeing, those are pretty popular items even now. Trying to imagine what some of these things that John was seeing might be. In verse 10, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. So they have limited power, though, which is interesting. They can only hurt man. They can't kill him, whatever these stings are. But it's going to be painful, because it sounds like it's going to last for 5 months, which is a long time to be in pain. I think about people that suffer with any kind of ailment, that like migraines. I just can't imagine that kind of a ailment that can cause you pain. Sometimes, multiple times a week. I don't know how often it happens, but I've heard, some people really complain. They get these headaches and stuff that just last for many hours. So I'm going to stop there today. We'll continue on tomorrow, I mean Monday. And I keep going over my half. I keep trying to shoot for a half hour, and I keep going over. I'm sorry. But I hope you enjoyed that. And we'll end with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look at your word and to try to think about what could be coming down the pike, what John was seeing here. And it's interesting to see. And we know that you've already promised us that we're not going to have to deal with this wrath. So looking forward to seeing you soon before all this starts happening. But it is intriguing too to know how to prepare those possibly that might see this video later on afterwards, and it might help them. And I pray and that all that come to Christ now and during the tribulation will look to you for guidance, and that they'll be looking to you for strength. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Okay, folks, I will talk to you Monday. And pass this to Jamie. I still have a little trouble with his last name, so I think he's going to be Pastor Jamie for me. But he'll be here Saturday, and if there's any people that, young folks, that would like to help out to help him unload his truck into a storage unit, we're going to get together on Saturday morning. About, I think they said 8 or 9 o'clock. You might check. They'll probably, I think it was 8 o'clock they wanted to get together. It might have been 9. And they're going at the church to go and give Pastor Jamie a hand. And that I will talk to you all again on, and then of course Sunday we have our regular services. And I understand Stan, Pastor Jamie is going to handle one of the services. And that we're going to have the high school, or the kids in the school, are going to be giving a presentation Sunday night. And we're looking forward to that. That's always a nice time. And so I hope to see you all in church on Sunday. And we will talk to you later.